Please turn with me in the Bible now to the book of Galatians, Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 6 through 24, which you'll find on page 972 in the provided Bibles, 972. Galatians 1, beginning at verse 6. On page 972, please give your attention to the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles, except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it, said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This ends the reading of God's word. Let's go before him in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the good news of our Savior Jesus Christ, crucified and raised for sinners. We thank you for this truth, this faith, which has been once for all delivered. And we pray now that we would hear the true gospel from your word, that your Spirit would work in the word and would transform us, working in us and conforming us to the image of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives evermore. Amen. Well, history has seen its share of people changing sides. And we actually have a term for this, a word, turncoats. Now, in the English Civil War, back in the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell's soldiers turned their coats inside out to match the colors of the Royal Army, thus deceiving the Royalists and gaining entrance into a castle that was protected by the Royal Forces. They thought they were royalists and let them in. They deceived them, and thus was born the term turncoat. But we know other stories of people who have switched sides or been working under deception. You may know Benedict Arnold, of course, a general in the American Continental Army who defected to the British Army under great intrigue, spying. Or more contemporary examples, Roger Clemens or Johnny Damon, who switched from the Red Sox and eventually made their way to the Yankees. That one would get more boos and hisses out east. Or maybe for some of you around here, Brett Favre, who ended up playing for the Jets or the Vikings. Well, we have our share of turncoats in history, but changing sides is not new to the 17th century. As we've opened up the book of Galatians, and as we looked at it last week, we know that Paul has been called as an apostle, as a messenger, not from men, nor was he called through man. but he was called directly by and through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, as well as by God our Father. Paul is a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he preached to the Galatians that very message, a message delivered directly unto him. And he exhorted the Galatians unto salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And they responded. They received that message. But now, as Paul writes, we learn that something has gone horribly wrong. Indeed, the Galatians have now received what Paul calls a different gospel. Our theme this morning as we look at verses 6 through 10 is that the only good news is the gospel preached by Jesus Christ and is about Jesus Christ. The only good news, the only gospel, is the gospel preached by Jesus Christ and is about Jesus Christ. Our points this morning are three. First, gospel desertion, then gospel counterfeits, and then gospel approval. So first, let's look at gospel desertion. Now, you may be very familiar with how Paul writes his letters. He has his familiar greeting. And in most of letters, that greeting is followed by thanksgiving. We see that in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Philemon, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, and 2 Thessalonians, or Philippians, I should say. And after it's followed by thanksgiving, you have him working into the subject matter pertinent to that letter. But if his greeting is not followed by a thanksgiving, then it is followed by a blessing. We see that in 2 Corinthians and Ephesians. So in all of Paul's other letters, you have a greeting, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, or something very similar to that, with an immediate thanksgiving or a blessing. Not so in the book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatians. Why? He does something very different. It's probably not due to the fact that this is the earliest of Paul's extant letters, but rather due to the importance and the urgency of the situation. Paul gets right to the point. For we have here a startling change in verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. He spends no additional time than what's necessary to introduce himself and offer the greetings of the Lord before he immediately addresses the issue at hand, that he marvels at what they have done. He is shocked, for they have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, but now they have turned their backs on that gospel for a different message. They've done nothing less than deserting the gospel. Now, in this verse, Paul uses two closely related Greek words when he speaks of the different gospel, which is another gospel. Now, if you're reading in the ESV or the New American Standard or even the New King James, those English translations distinguish those two uses with two different words. I think that's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. We have those words different and another. But that isn't as clear in other translations. Many of them will use the same word in both of those places, even though there are different Greek words. Now, not to get into the weeds too much, but there is some debate over how Paul uses the Greek words here. Regardless of your position on that question, Paul is undeniably clear that the Galatians have abandoned the true gospel for something else, which is no gospel, no good news at all. The two Greek words here you may know, or at least perk up your ears. They're heteros and allos. Allos is a word that often designates numerical distinctiveness, and heteros often indicates a difference of kind. Let me give you an example so that you can understand better. Now, I like to play guitar, and I have a few guitars at home, two of which, well, all of them are sentimental to me, but two of which I love dearly, my electric guitar and my acoustic guitar. My acoustic guitar was a gift to me from my parents when I graduated with my Master of Divinity degree and embarked upon a life of gospel ministry. My electric guitar, my beautiful 2004 Fender Stratocaster, I purchased with money that my grandmother left for me when she passed away. And so these guitars have great sentimental value, but they also are just beautiful guitars that I love to play. I love every part of them. They're wonderful. They fit in my hand. They sound excellent. I know them. And as I grow as a player, those guitars kind of grow along with me. You become part and parcel of your instrument. Some of you may know how that feels. Now, if my beloved Fender Stratocaster were lost or destroyed, I would certainly want to get another guitar, but I would want another of the very same kind. Now, maybe I wouldn't be able to get one exactly the same, but I could get pretty close. I would want what Paul would say was an allos guitar. Another guitar, but one that is very similar, the same kind, yet numerically distinct from the one that was lost or destroyed. Now, when my wife Erica and I moved to Philadelphia, we sold both of our cars so that we could buy one nicer car and be a little bit more economical. Unfortunately, we went to an auction and I purchased a 2002 Volkswagen Passat. And although the car drove nicely, it felt nice to be in. Everything about it was nice, except it didn't work very well. It broke down often, over and over, and I started to realize why I won the auction and why everybody else who was a professional car buyer understood something about this particular year. I don't mean to trash all years of Volkswagen Passats. We loved that car for many reasons, except the fact that it cost me more in repairs than I paid for the car. When I sold that car, I sold it under full disclosure. The person buying it knew everything that was wrong with it. They knew what they would have to do to keep it from getting even worse. But when I sold that car, I wanted another car. I didn't want an Allos Volkswagen. I didn't want another car of the same kind. I wanted a different car, a heteros car, something completely different. You see the difference here between something different and another. So if I were to use these Greek words here, look at verse 6 and verse 7 with me very closely. Paul writes, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a heteros gospel," like the Passat. "Not that there is an allos one," like the Fender Stratocaster, "but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." The point here, whether you know Greek or not, you can see it in the English very clearly. The point here is that the Galatians have abandoned the gospel for a heterodox message, something completely different. It is not another form of the gospel, just a slight variety of the truth, but a different message altogether, categorically different. That's the very thesis of J. Gresham Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism, written in the throes of the modernist fundamentalist controversy early in the 20th century. That's the controversy that gave birth to our own denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. That thesis is classic. His lesson is that classic liberalism is not another form of Christianity. But classic liberalism is a different religion altogether. A different religion. There is Christianity, and then there is liberalism, you see. They're not the same. They're not under the same category. They're different religions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no other gospel. That's a theme of the conference I'm going to this week. I didn't want to steal the title. I wanted to use No Other Gospel, but that's the title of the conference. I thought I'd be called out for plagiarizing or something. There is only one true gospel. There is only one good news. Any other message is not good news. It is a gospel counterfeit. And that's our next point. Gospel counterfeits. Now, picking up in verse 7, Paul says, "There are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Now we know always the best counterfeits are similar to the original in so many ways. That's what a counterfeit's trying to be, as close to the original as possible so that it can pass it off as the genuine article. But there is always something off about a counterfeit. There's always something that's missing or something that's distorted. And the Judaizers, who are the false teachers here in Galatia, who are spreading this false gospel, have distorted the message of Jesus Christ. They are preaching a message of salvation, yes. And they even speak about Jesus Christ and the importance of believing in him. But what they preach and teach is a message of Jesus plus. Jesus plus the law. Something must be added to what Jesus has done for us. Sure, you must believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And yes, salvation is available now to the Gentiles. But you have to obey the law. You not only have to obey, you have to come under the law. Specifically, by receiving the sign of the covenant in the old covenant, circumcision. Now, this is not a minor doctrinal point, but in its essence, in the kernel of their message, it is a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. The law was given because of sin. The law was given to show to you your sin, to expose it. But the law is powerless to free you from your sin. The law can only condemn. The law is death for you if you are outside of Christ. It cannot forgive you. And these false teachers are submitting their people unto the law, which is submitting them unto slavery and death. It is not good news. It is the opposite of good news. It is horrible news. It is death news. It's a death notice to the Galatians to submit them unto the law, for the law does not have the power to redeem one from sin. It only has the power to show us our sin, to condemn us, and to raise us up in further disobedience. It's Jesus Christ and Christ alone who frees us from the law's demands, for he lived for us, satisfied all of the demands of righteousness, and he died to pay the penalty for our sins committed under the law and committed in our first father, Adam. Jesus Christ is the only good news. For Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone brings freedom from the law. Preaching Christ plus the law is not another form of Christianity. It's a heterodox message, a different message, a different religion. So how then do we know that we've received the only gospel? Well, it's not based on any creature's word. Paul continues in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Now he says, look, if I come to you again and start preaching to you something different than the message I delivered to you at first, the message which comes from our Savior Jesus Christ, then let me be accursed. He says, if an angel from heaven reveals himself to you and comes to you preaching a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. The only gospel is the gospel of Christ. What does that mean, of Christ? Does that mean Christ owns it? Like this is the car of Camden? Or does this mean that the gospel is about Christ? It's the gospel, the content of which is Christ? Does this mean that Christ preached the gospel? You know, as if it's Christ's gospel because it's the gospel of Christ, the one he preached? Yes, yes, and yes. This is a wonderful use of this genitive phrase. This gospel is about Jesus Christ, yes, but it is the exact same gospel that Jesus Christ preached and delivered to his people. This is the gospel that sets forth Christ. He is the good news. He is the substance and the content of the gospel, and he is the ultimate preacher of that good news, declaring it to us both in word and indeed. and now by His Spirit. For us to spot the counterfeit, we must first understand the original better than anything. And we receive that directly from the Lord by His Spirit in His Word. And if anyone distorts that message, if I preach to you a false message, you must remove me. If an angel from heaven showed up right now preaching a different gospel, let him be accursed. Let him receive the wrath of God. The divine justice must be poured out upon the wicked and upon those who twist and alter the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and preach to people lies and falsehood. Counterfeit gospels abound. They are everywhere. They are different in terms of their content, but they also have an entirely different motivation. And they seek a different type of gospel approval. And this is our third and final point, gospel approval. Now, as Paul continues to speak about these Judaizers, the false teachers, he speaks about how they were seeking to discredit him personally. That's why he starts talking about, have I come to please man? Well, Paul teaches, of course, that circumcision is not necessary. We don't have to engage in works of the law in order to be saved. We'll come across that very clearly throughout the entire book of Galatians, yet especially in chapter 5. But if we were to step back and look at all that Paul has taught and all that he has done, we start to see some things which could be misinterpreted. And this is what the Judaizers were looking at. For example, although Paul teaches that circumcision is not necessary, he had Timothy circumcised in Acts chapter 16, verse 3. Paul also said that he became all things to all people in 1 Corinthians 9, 22. And so the Judaizers look upon Paul and they see how he behaves differently for different crowds so that he might win them for the gospel. But they interpret that as Paul making his decisions in order to please people. For in their minds, Paul is not acting according to principles of doctrinal fidelity, but rather he is acting on principles of personal advantage. And Paul is just doing whatever is convenient for him to gain favor with men. Of course, that's not at all what Paul is doing. Paul is preaching the one true gospel, but yet he's trying to meet all of the people around him. And if they are stumbling over the fact that a Gentile who's uncircumcised is preaching to them the message, then he encourages Timothy, get circumcised. It has nothing to do with you earning your own salvation. But for the sake of these weaker brothers who are stumbling for the moment, undergo circumcision that you might be able to reach them and teach them truly the gospel of God's grace, that these works of the law are not required for you to be saved. Or when Paul is submitting to the dietary restrictions in some crowds, or not submitting to the dietary restrictions in other crowds, it's not because he's trying to gain favor with men. He understands that he's been freed from the dietary restrictions of the Old Testament. For Christ has made all things clean. Yet for the sake of the brother who doesn't yet understand, or the weaker brother or sister in Christ, he becomes all things to all people so that he can share the wonderful truth of salvation in Jesus Christ with each and every one of them. Paul doesn't submit to the law to earn his salvation. He does so at times for the sake of his brothers and sisters, to love them. The Judaizers don't understand this. In their minds, they believe that Paul is merely a people pleaser and taking advantage of different opportunities to spread his message. This very same mentality was present again in the modern church. I've mentioned Machen once, I'll mention him again. Machen wrote about his experience during the modernist fundamentalist controversy in the early 20th century. He has a whole series of notes on the book of Galatians. And in those notes, he writes, "The prime question for Paul in dealing with any message was not the personality of the messengers, but the question whether the message was true. In the modern church, on the other hand, it is exactly the other way around. Paul was tolerant about the content of the message, but intolerant about the personality of the messengers. The modern church is tolerant about the message, but intolerant about the personality of the messengers and about the methods by which the message is proclaimed." Paul had no patience for swerving from the gospel. But yet the modern church has no patience for people who are dogged in their doctrinal integrity. This is no country for warrior children in the modern church. But we do not seek the approval of man. We must seek only the approval that comes from God. And gospel approval comes only from Jesus Christ. If we were to use Martin Luther's terminology, we, as faithful followers of Christ, must become theologians of the cross and not theologians of glory. The theologian of glory seeks the approval of man. He seeks to promote himself. He doesn't want to undergo suffering or any hardship or trial, but he wants to gain favor in the sight of those around him. He would want to bend and twist his doctrine so that he doesn't offend anyone, because he would want to gain favor in the eyes of many. But the theologian of the cross willingly will endure suffering, knowing that his or her reward is in heaven. We must only look to Christ for our approval. Look to him alone, for he alone is our salvation. He alone is who matters. Seek approval from him and not from men, for you are saved by grace through faith in him and not by works of the law. And if we serve Christ, if we are servants of Christ, like Paul says, we could even say if we are slaves of Jesus, then we must seek his approval and his approval alone. He's the only review that matters. You don't need to try to increase your employee review in the eyes of men. Forget it. Seek Christ, and in seeking Christ, love your neighbor as yourself. But don't measure your worth against the categories and the opinions of mankind. It is fruitless, pointless. It's a road that leads unto death. Jesus Christ is your master. He is your glory. But he also is your salvation and your life. That is the good news. Believe upon him alone for your salvation, and you will be saved. Not by works of the law, not by adding anything to what he has done. For the gospel is not about what you do, but it's about what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he will do for you in coming again, raising us imperishable. Trust in him and in him alone. Amen.